Welcome to Women Without Justice, a presentation of Latin American Coalition courtesy of Indymedia and KPFK. I'm Tea Tafoya. In today's program, we will address an important development in northeast Mexico, the disappearance and killing of hundreds of women. On Tuesday the 13th of this month, Naira Azucena Cervantes was expected to arrive at her parents' home in the city of Chihuahua, state of Chihuahua. But soon, the waiting turned into a nightmare. Azucena's parents knew that something terrible might have happened. The citizens of this northern city knows all too well what happens next. Since 1993, several hundred young women from the same state have mysteriously disappeared, and many have been found dead. Naira Azucena, like many other victims, is a young, attractive, working-class woman who attended a computer class after work. Jesus Argueta is Azucena's father.
Nada más la negligencia de las autoridades aquí en Chihuahua, eso sí me gustaría que se quedara bien claro. La falta de información, la situación que le dan a...
I just want to mention the authorities' negligence here in the city of Chihuahua. I want to set the record straight. They don't give you information. They just interpret everything with their own biases. They always want to focus on the possible problems parents have with their daughters or young women have with their boyfriends, but they never have a realistic assessment. They don't even consider kidnapping, but instead consider that this woman might have run away with her boyfriends or get angry with her parents. In the case of her daughter, they come up with the most unexpected theories about us.
On March 2, 2002, Paloma Escobar Ledesma, 16 years old, disappeared without a trace after leaving the same computer school that Azucena attended. 3 weeks later, her corpse was found in a creek. As a result of her daughter's death, Norma Ledesma, a factory worker, now spends much of her time helping other women in similar circumstances.
Mi hija no vimos nada extraño. Salió ese día de la casa a rumbo a su escuela llamada Eco, que es muy parecida a lo que está pasando ahorita con Neira Azucena. La escuela ahorita se llama Era, pero es la misma.
When our daughter disappeared, we didn't notice anything strange. She left the house and rode to her school named Echo, which is similar to what happened to Naira Azucena. The school is now named Era, but it's the same school. It was on a Saturday afternoon at about 3 o'clock that she didn't return home. Immediately a few hours later, when she was supposed to return home and didn't, we tried to file a missing persons report and announce her disappearance. But they didn't look for her because here in Chihuahua, to be missing is not a crime, and therefore the case wasn't going to be investigated. Immediately, the community responded and we began to pass out flyers in the city and pressure the authorities. There have been many cases of missing girls from this school. We told the police, but they did not want to pay attention. 27 days passed and we still couldn't find her. Supposedly, the police are not obligated. To search and can only help as volunteers.
Ms. Ledesma points out a common thread that connects many of the victims.
In the capital of Chihuahua, there have been many of disappearances of young girls. The police commander, Gloria Cobos Jimeno, is the person in charge of investigating the missing cases of all the young girls. This person was also the one in charge of my daughter Paloma's case. There are many hypotheses of this pattern of the crimes, and it seems that many of the girls have been pretty, young, and healthy. In Paloma's case, all the elements lead to believe that it could have been a serial murder. These are all girls who usually stay home and are very good and innocent, who never go out at night, only during the day. Therefore, they are being kidnapped in broad daylight. But now the state authorities report new information indicating that one other reason for the disappearance could be the trafficking of organs. These were women or young girls who never drank, smoked, play instruments, play sports, and even dance. They were very healthy, and their lives were very regimented.
Alma Gomez is a legal advisor for a group of Chihuahua women in search of justice for their missing and dead daughters. Gomez critiques police procedures in their attempt to solve the alarming number of killings in her hometown.
Constante que hay es que la autoridad recibe la denuncia de los padres, que en todos los casos que tenemos es una denuncia que los padres interponen al día siguiente de que la
constant is that the authorities receive the missing persons report filed by the parents a day after the girl's disappearance has been noticed, and after the parents have searched in hospitals and everywhere. Something that is repetitive from the authorities is that they have to wait after 48 hours have passed until any action can be taken. In all the cases, it has been the same. Firstly, the authorities say that disappearances are not a crime. And yes, this is true. We are in the state of Chihuahua, a few kilometers away from Ciudad Juarez, where close to 300 women have been assassinated, and which many of them were first reported missing and later found dead. Because of the horrific situation here in Chihuahua and Ciudad Juarez, after a girl is suspected missing, action must be taken immediately, since we are living in a dangerous and high-risk area.
Aquí en Chihuahua y en Ciudad Juárez, en que en el momento en que se pierde una muchacha que desaparece, que no llega a la escuela o no llega al hogar, la deben de buscar inmediatamente porque estamos en una zona de alto riesgo, de alto peligro.
Gomez's skepticism and mistrust for the police is not an isolated opinion. Just a few days after her daughter Paloma disappeared, a highly placed official gave Ms. Ledesma some false hopes she will never forget.
27 días después, exactamente el 29 de marzo del 2002, encontraron el cuerpo. No lo encontró la policía, porque como ellos no los buscan, pues no lo encontró la policía. Lo encontró un matrimonio que iba por...
On March 29, 2002, there was a body found by a married couple who were walking by a stream. The autopsy revealed that the body had been there for 20 to 30 days, and I want to make clear that on March 15th or 16th, the same state attorney had told me not to worry because they had talked to my daughter, and she had said that she was happy because she was now free, and the reason that she had left was because she was being beaten up by her stepfather, which were all lies, because she does not have a stepfather, only her real father, who is my husband. And by the time when they officially gave me this information, she was already dead.
Que su padrastro la golpeada, ¿verdad? Siendo que no es padrastro, es el papá con el que vivo, es mi esposo, es papá de ella. Según la autopsia, ¿verdad? Cuando ellos me dieron oficialmente esta información, pues mi hija ya estaba muerta.
And like adding insult to injury, the local police then announced they had already found Paloma's killer. The alleged murderer was Vicente Cardenas, her boyfriend. But to everyone's surprise, the police news soon turned sour when an official involved in the murder case was charged with planting evidence.
El día que la encontraron, a otro día, ese mismo día, detienen a un presunto responsable de nombre exnovio de Paloma. Su nombre era Vicente Cárdenas. Lo detuvieron porque tenía una prueba muy grande para sospechar que él era el culpable. Cerca del cuerpo.
The same day they found her body, they arrested a man as a suspect. His name was Vicente Cárdenas, an ex-boyfriend of Paloma. He was detained because they claimed that they had proof. They found a picture of him close to my daughter's body. That was the biggest proof they had, and they published it the next day that they had found the murder of my daughter, Paloma. But the family found out afterwards that in reality, what happened was that the commander, Gloria Cobos Jimeno, who was in charge of the investigation of Paloma's case, as well as all the other missing girls, had planted the evidence next to where Paloma's body was found.
The fact that the police officer was caught planting evidence and was only removed from the case and received no punishment therein is no incentive for Chihuahua's citizens to believe in justice. But there's more. The current commander Mayorga also has his own skeletons in the closet, says Ledesma.
Jose Mayorga Solis, the police commander, has a bad history of torturing and planting false evidence. He had retired last March, but under the pressure of the many missing young girls, they were short on staff and therefore forced to rehire this corrupted investigator. But we, the mothers, have been asking for him to be revoked because of his negative attitude towards the missing girls. The chief only looks for girls who are runaway cases, but not the ones who have been kidnapped.
Marta Ojeda is a union organizer in the Texas Chihuahua area. She charges the local police with complicity with regard to missing evidence from the police station and of passing the buck to other police agencies in order to avoid responsibility.
The state, the federal label, they are not being resolved in any case. But it's the impunity. They don't know, just integrate the investigation of all these things. There's something behind. Many argue there are many police involved because for several departments, because just suddenly nobody knows what's happened. The files are lost, and nobody knows any information about their relatives or their daughters who are disappeared. And the federal government says that that we have the law and that belongs to the state. The state says that the local government has to reply. So many families are being involved, following the cases, mobilizing. They are demanding, and all the labels of the government trying to be involved in the investigation of these cases.
Ms. Ojeda underlines the deplorable working conditions in which Chihuahua's young women work and the little or no protection provided by their employers.
Working on Maquila, second and third shift, the Maquila forcing to work overtime, and they work until early morning. They are not protected. On the beginning, Maquilas were providing transportation, but later, suppose they need to be competitive on the market, and they need to reduce costs. So therefore, they take away the transportation. So now workers are by themselves, but they provide one whistle in order that if they are in danger, they can use the whistle.
The people of Mexico's northeast, where the state of Chihuahua is located, experience a very intense drought. And this, combined with the import of the heavily subsidized agriculture produce from the U.S., displaces farmers. The displaced Mexicans then move to the cities, where they hope they will find employment. There, the maquiladora, or U.S. or German-owned assembly plants, are waiting for them to come. And when they arrive, the powerful employers take advantage of their situation. Many of the young women who have disappeared or have been killed in Chihuahua were part of the ever-growing Mexico's internal migration. Again, Marta Ojeda.
Workers, women, teenagers, they were facing all this exploitation, just surviving in cardboard houses, but then all this discrimination, sexual harassment, then problems with their kids, with the sex, and so and so, and now the price is including their life, because many of them, they need to work, they need to survive, but you don't know if they will return alive.
Desde temprano la niña reza pa' que su día no sea tan largo y con la luz de madrugada hace limpieza de sus encargos. Cierra los ojos pa' no mirarse, en el espejo se va notando. Su trabajo la está acabando, es que su santo está...
está en descanso, todos los días, todas las horas, en esa espuma de sus tristezas, uñas y carne, sudor y fuerzas, todo su empeño, todos sus sueños, se van quedando en sus recuerdos, en la memoria de sus anhelos.
And this is Women Without Justice, a special program about the disappearance and killing of the women in Chihuahua, Mexico. Jose Solis Mayorga is a police commander and a relative of the state attorney general. Responding to our question about the disappearance of Nayira Azucena Cervantes, he replied,
"We have faith that this girl is around here, and we are not going to take too long to find her."
As for Attorney General Jose Silva Solis and his contribution to solve the long chain of crimes against the women, Ms. Ledesma says,
"He has yet to be identified by name or face. With regard to what is happening, the state attorney knows, and I believe that he knows definitely. I believe that he definitely has information about what is happening because he has been informed by his agents. I believe that the state attorney is not concerned of these disappearances. He thinks that all the cases are related to family violence, and that is why they have left home. In some cases, that is true, but those who leave home are found because they have left hints. In comparison, however, those that have been taken have never been found, as in the girls missing since 2000.
The growing skepticism of the local police among Chihuahua citizens is merely symptomatic of their behavior. Ms. Ledesma recalls an incident in which the police told reporters they have found three female corpses and later changed their story. The new version was made public several months later, but then the number of corpses grew to six.
Cuando ellos encuentran el cuerpo, no lo dejan a uno arrimarse. Por mi experiencia, yo le podía decir que a nosotros se nos avisó, fuimos, llegamos a la escuela de medicina y herméticamente estuvieron cerrados, no nos dejaron. Es más, yo nunca vi el cuerpo. Yo identifico, no, lo que pase allí y lo que ellos dicen.
The police don't allow us to see the bodies. When we went to the School of Medicine, they kept the school access closed, so I never actually saw the body. body. I have my doubts of what they say. For example, they told me, look at the body has nothing. She wasn't raped. Nothing is missing. In February, they found three bodies, but according to the information that we have received as an organization, it indicated that there were six corpses. An investigation by the federal attorney and the FBI showed that there were six. What happened was that the reporters saw only three, and the other three were hidden by the police.
Entonces ocultaron la verdad de esos tres cuerpos. Dijeron que eran tres cuando eran seis en el mismo lugar.
The Chihuahua state justice system has come under fire from Proceso magazine. On the edition of February 17th of 2002, Miguel Angel Granado Chapa writes about the killing of Mario Cesar Escobedo. According to Chapa, in the beginning of the year, Chihuahua's authorities reported the findings of eight female corpses, and soon after they claimed they had found the killer. Victor Javier Garcia and Gustavo Gonzalez was soon indicted for the crimes, and confessed criminals were sent to prison. But attorney Escobedo did not believe the official story, and soon after he took the defense of the two alleged murderers.
El año del 2001, en noviembre del 2001, en Ciudad Juárez, se encontraron ocho cuerpos de muchachas sembrados, ¿verdad? Puesto uno tras de otro en un predio ahí céntrico de Ciudad Juárez. Y hay un abogado, encuentran los ocho cuerpos, dicen, les dan nombre, les dan identidad a las víctimas.
In November of 2001, in the city of Juárez, eight bodies of girls were found. These bodies were found in the city, but they were implanted there. Immediately, they detained two men, nicknamed El Cerrillo y La Foca. There was a lawyer defending them who believed they were innocent, and their confessions were due to torture. In this case, the attorney intervened. That night, the lawyer was driving, and he noticed somebody was following him, and he called his father on his cell phone. He had one hand on the phone and the other on the steering wheel. When his father asked him where he was located, by the time the father arrived to meet him, he found his son already dead. When the father noticed how fast the police had arrived at the crime scene, he was amazed to see how effective the police were. Only to find out later that it was the police who had murdered his son. The police responded by saying that they had shot him because he began to shoot at them first. But he was driving with one hand and talking on the cell phone with the other. So how could he be able to shoot?
For critics of Chihuahua's justice system, there may be a reason for the local media to keep silent. But according to Ms. Ledesma, there are some courageous reporters who managed to ask some hard questions and even write the stories about the killings, but to no avail. The news editors just won't publish them.
I want to say that over here in Chihuahua, the press has sold out. There are journalists who are honest, but it seems that the editors have some agreement not to allow these journalists to work, and thus corruption and censorship prevails. There have been many occasions where they have done intense interviews with me, but what has happened is that the interviews do not make the news or it doesn't get published completely, only selective issues. And there is a lot of threats against these journalists
too.
The pain of losing her precious daughter had made Ledesma lose her fear of the police as well. When asked if she was concerned about her safety, she simply said,
I can't say that I am not afraid, because I do have family, but they took the thing that I love the most, and being silent is like being an accomplice. I can't stay quiet because the only thing that I have left is to say the truth. I won't deny it, I am afraid, but I face the fear with bravery. I have talked to the governor, and I know that I am being watched. I know that I could suffer an accident, like they say. But when they took everything from me, and the way they took my daughter, there's no way they can keep me silent.
The following is a physical description of Neira Azucena Cervantes, who disappeared May 13, 2003. She is 20 years old and slim, standing at 5 feet, 3 inches tall. She has short, light brown hair. She has a round face and her eyes are honey-colored and clear. Her eyebrows are thin. She has a small and pointed nose with flared nostrils and small ears. If any listener out there knows anything about where Azucena is, please call the following numbers. You may call Jesus Argueta at 011-52-614-1283-464 or at Chihuahua State Attorney's Office at 011-52-614-429-3381, extension 4315. Or if you wish to get in touch with the other relatives of the women who have disappeared in Chihuahua, you may contact us through the internet at www.geocities.com/nuestrashijas or at www.casaamiga.org. We would like to dedicate this program to the relatives of the women who have disappeared in Chihuahua and to thank KPFK for allowing us this space on the air to talk about this important issue. This program is produced by Pedro Sanchez, Michelle Juarez, Cindy Medina, Meli Hernandez, Juan Carlos Navarro, Rodrigo Argueta, Fernando Velázquez, Norma Martínez, and Ted Tafoya. Thank you for listening.
Cambia lo superficial, cambia también lo profundo, cambia el modo de pensar, cambia todo en este mundo. Cambia el clima con los años, cambia el pastor su rebaño, y así como todo cambia, que yo cambie no es extraño. Cambia el más fino brillante, de mano en mano su brillo, cambia el nido el pajarillo, cambia el sentir un amante, cambia el rumbo el caminante, aunque esto le cause daño, y así como todo cambia, que yo cambie no es extraño. Subsiste, cambia la planta y se viste de verde en la primavera. Cambia el pelaje la fiera, cambia el cabello el anciano, y así como todo cambia, que yo cambie no es extraño. Mi amor, por más lejos que me encuentre, ni el recuerdo ni el dolor de mi pueblo y de mi gente, y lo que cambió ayer tendrá que cambiar mañana, así como cambio yo en esta tierra lejana.